Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. You may be seated. I want to talk to you for just a few moments today on the subject, what I do when I doubt my faith. What I do when I doubt my faith. Faith, I've said it 1,000 times, is heaven's currency. If you go to the mall and you don't have any credit cards and you don't have any cash, you can see everything, but you just can't do no business. Same thing in the kingdom of God. You can come and you can see it, but you cannot receive the kingdom of God without faith. You must believe that God is and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's a reason why the Bible said, above all, take the shield of faith. I've spent lifetime in churches that was trying to disciple people, and they do it in a variety of ways, but it's usually fear. If you don't do this, you're not going to be blessed. If you don't do this, you're going to hell. If you do this, you're going to hell. That's not the best motivation. The best motivation is faith. If you can convince God, people, that God is an ever-present help, that he's there with them all the time. There are people that I go with, and when I'm with them, they do very well. They do very well. But when I'm not with them, I know they don't do so well. Just me being with them. What if they had an awareness that God saw everything and heard everything? He's ever present. That's faith, knowing that God is, that he's always present. And that God is in this building right now. That God will be with you when you walk out of this building. Faith is the most dangerous weapon that a believer can have. And ladies and gentlemen, we are involved in a warfare. If you're weaponless, you're a victim. But you don't have to be a victim. You can be a victor. But the greatest and most dangerous weapon that you can have is faith. The devil is afraid of faith. The devil hates my faith. The devil is afraid of my faith, and so he will do everything he can to make me doubt my faith, to convince me that I don't have faith. My job is to awaken faith in you, to stir up the gift that is within you. For the Bible declares every man is given by God a measure of faith. You've got faith, and the faith that God gives you is enough to bring every miracle that you need in your life. Satan fears faith over all. When I don't think so, I still have faith. When I can't get any help, I still have faith. When nobody cares, I still have faith. When it doesn't make any difference, I still have faith. When I don't feel like it, I still have faith. When I don't want to, I still have faith. The greatest manifestation of faith is doing what you know to do rather than what you feel. The greatest detriment of faith is doing what we feel. Well, I just don't feel like it. Friend, that is the damnation of people that are struggling to be victorious, is following your feelings. Jesus demonstrates that faith in Gethsemane so strongly. You understand that Jesus Christ was all righteousness. You understand that there was no sin in him. You understand that he was tempted in all points, but did not give in to any of those temptations. And so we find Jesus Christ in Gethsemane praying. It's there he rebukes his disciples for not praying with him an hour. I found out that when we're frustrated, we tend to rebuke those that are around us. I've watched preachers for years. I saw one of my favorite preachers. He's a great man of faith. But I laughed because I said, I cannot believe. I told Becky, I said, I can't believe what I saw him do on television this past week. She said, what'd he do? He's one of my favorites. I said, he was chewing out that congregation for not being there. And they were there, the ones he was chewing out. And I said, he's the most positive guy I ever saw. And he was taking them to task for being late. Why do you do that? Because you're frustrated in your faith. You always take it out on somebody else. Gethsemane was not a pleasant night for Jesus Christ. It was so unpleasant that he turned on his disciples and said, what? Couldn't you pray with me just 1 hour? the truth is, because Christ is who he was, he didn't need them to pray with him because he was God on this earth. But he was so frustrated. Why was he frustrated? Because he did not want to do what he was about to have to do. He didn't want to go to that cross. You know, it's terrible when you have to pay for your mistakes. But it's worse when you have to pay for somebody else's mistakes. It's terrible when you admit your guilt and you're repentant about it. And you apologize and you tell people you're sorry. But when you are accused and it's never going to be proven otherwise, it's never ever going to be proven otherwise, and you have to feel that in your spirit, it's a terrible thing to recognize that you are going to be charged with somebody else's problem. Well, that's exactly what Jesus Christ was feeling in Gethsemane. In Gethsemane, the weight of all the world's sins came upon Christ. The sin of the gossiper and the tattler, the sin of the blasphemer, the sin of the adulterer and liar, the sin of the homosexual, the sin of everybody that did everything wrong came flooding on him in Gethsemane. It was such an ordeal, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And that prayer that he gave was agonizing. When he prayed to the Father and said, "Let this cup pass from me." It had to do with what he was feeling. And he said, "I don't feel like going to the cross. And I don't feel like bearing the sins of the world." And he agonized and he prayed. But nevertheless, he got up and went to the cross. Jesus did not feel like taking our sins to the cross. And yet most Christians live their life on what they feel rather than what they know. My faith is in Jesus, and I have Jesus' faith. As Jesus Christ did not give in to his feeling, he said, "I am by faith going to do what I know to do." And the Bible said that he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. Ladies and gentlemen, I sometimes doubt my faith, but the greatest witness of my faith is myself, because I do what I know to do rather than what I feel like I want to do. I don't always feel like studying the Word of God. I don't always feel like praying. I don't always feel like coming to church. I don't always feel like sharing Christ. But when I do what I don't feel like doing, it is a testimony to me, you are full of faith. The same faith that was in Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, if you will realize that that same spirit that was in Christ is in you, if you will learn to be motivated by your faith and not what you feel, and say, "I don't feel like praying, but I'm going to pray a while." And every time I have an adverse feeling and I know what to do and I do it regardless of how I feel, I come out the other side victorious. That's the reason why so many people don't have victory, is they don't push through their feelings. They give in to their feelings. If you do, you will be defeated every day of your life. But praise God if you'll take the Word of God and remember Jesus in Gethsemane saying, "It's not my will, but thy will be done. Take this cup from me. Let it pass. Nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done." As long as you're in this fleshly body, you will have feelings that are not profitable to you or the kingdom of God. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Faith endures. Faith endures. You say, "I wonder why so-and-so is not walking for God anymore." It's because they could not endure. And the reason they didn't endure is they did not use their faith. If you use your faith, I promise you, you will endure anything and everything that comes against you, and you will be victorious. Works and lifestyle are the evidence of faith. We hear people talking about, "It's not my works." Oh, it's not. It is the free gift of God that you're saved. But the victory comes that you show your faith by works. James would write and say, show me your faith, almost mocking them. And he was writing to a people that were going through perilous times, treacherous times. He was almost mocking them, saying, show me your faith without works. And he said, I will show you my faith by my works. When I doubt my faith, I buckle down and say, you're going to do what you've always done, only you're going to do it bigger and you're going to do it better. Praise God. I know some preachers and I love them, but they've gotten my age and older, and now they just give up. And they say, you know, I've got so many pains in my body and my health is not what it should be. So I'm just going to worship at home now. By the help and the grace of God, I hope I never come to that place in my life. Because when I get up and say, I'm going to the house of the Lord, something kicks in. When I don't feel like it and I faith it, something kicks in. All of my miracles happen when I overcome my feeling. Feeling is the greatest giant you'll ever face in your life. And most people simply submit to the way they feel rather than what they know. I know some things about God. I know that if I will read the Word of God, I can hide it in my heart, and it will be profitable against the attack of the enemy. And so when the devil says, don't study the Word of God, I might not feel like it at the moment, but I said I'm going to read it a little while. And it doesn't take me very long, just a few moments in the Word of God, and I'm eating it, and I'm devouring it, and it's changing my life. I have learned that my greatest miracles come when I overcome my feeling. It's not whether I feel like it or not. I've walked into churches and places where it was very bare. And I'd say, well, I don't feel like preaching to this place. I heard about my brother-in-law was telling me about a famous preacher that walked into a church and he thought there was going to be thousands there and there was 50 there. And he just walked to the pulpit and said, I don't preach to 50 people anymore, and walked out. Oh, he gave in to his feelings. No telling what would have happened if he had said, I'm not going to give in to my feelings. I'm going to faith it. God called me to preach where the house is full or where there's 10 people there. God called me to preach. I've told you the story several times in the last 47 years about being so tired. I preached when I was evangelizing and traveling. I would preach more times a year than there was a year. And it wasn't 365 days. I would preach more than that because I'd preach twice a lot of days. And so I'd preach over 400 times a year. And I just got so tired physically. And I remember coming out of a great revival in Fort Worth, Texas. We'd had 150-some people get saved in just a few days there. And I went to visit my parents. And I was just so tired. And I just said, I'm going to rest a while. And my parents went to a real small little church. There wasn't, maybe 30 people would go to that church. And they were all older people. And it was just a little gathering of older people. And my dad said, son, on a Saturday, I was just so tired. And daddy said, son, you're going to go to church with us in the morning, aren't you? I said, daddy, I came home to rest. I'm just going to sleep in. And my daddy didn't say nothing. I could see the look on his face. He was disappointed. And so that next morning, Sunday morning, he knocked on my door early. And he said, have you changed your mind, son? Son, are you going? Oh, I was so tired that Sunday morning. I was so tired. But I just couldn't disappoint my daddy. And I said, yeah, let me get ready here. And so I went to that little church, and it was just as bad as I thought it would be. About 30 people, it was just death on wheels. I mean, it was just terrible. And they had a pastor there, and he was a sweet man, but he taught history. He was a public school teacher. That's the way he made his living. And he had a terrible habit. I don't know why he carried so much change in his pocket. But he would rattle that change like this all the time he was preaching. You couldn't hardly hear him. They didn't have a PA system or a sound system. It's just a little church. And he'd just talk. And sometimes you couldn't hardly hear what he was saying. You just hear that change rattling. And it was just terrible. And after that service, he came down to me. And he said, Brother Steve, he said, can we have you back to preach tonight? And I said, no, brother, I can't make it. I said, I'm just so tired. I'm here to rest. He said, oh, please. And I saw he was so disappointed. I said, I'll come tonight and say a little bit for you. And so I went, and sure enough, there's about 20 people there, 25 people there. And I got there a little bit early, and they had a little prayer room or little office there. And I went in to pray, and I never will forget this because I remember so distinctly. There was a calendar on the wall, and it was 3 months behind. And I remember thinking to myself, that's just about right. They're about 3 months behind. And I knelt down there at the chair, and I prayed. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came onto me like I was preaching in a major auditorium. And God spoke to me and said, I'm going to baptize 5 people with the Holy Spirit here tonight. And I said, God, I'm not sure that there are even going to be 5 people here that don't have the Holy Spirit. But I walked out there, and he gave me the pulpit, and I began to preach a little bit, and it was just a terrible atmosphere. It was the total opposite of what we experienced in this church. No praise, no worship, no life, just there. And I began to preach, and when I preached, there wasn't much happened. When I got through, I said, is there anybody here that wants the Holy Ghost? I never will forget it. And 5 people stood up and came and stood in front of the altar. And every one of them was older. You know, you have a lot of young people come to Christ. You don't have many people once they get to be 70 or whatever. And every one of these people were 70 years of age or older. And they stood there in front of me. And I never will forget them. I laid my hand on one man, and it was just as quiet in there. And when I laid my hand, God just baptized him with the Holy Spirit just as easy. And he began to speak in that heavenly language. I went to the next one, same thing. Went to the next one, same thing. 4 men, bang, bang, all 4 got filled with the Holy Spirit. And then I came to this next lady, and she was the only woman there. And she was not a Pentecostal. And this was a Pentecostal church, which was very legalistic. They didn't believe you could wear makeup. You could, if you was a woman, you couldn't cut your hair. You couldn't wear jewelry. It was very legalistic. And I looked at her, and I thought, she doesn't belong here because she had on a lot of makeup. Her hair was as short as mine is right now. She had on all kinds of jewelry. She had on bright red lipstick. She was dressed really well. You could tell she had money. And I got ready to touch her. She said, wait just a minute, sir. She said, I want the Holy Spirit. But she said, I don't want it like some people get it. She said, I don't want to be embarrassed, and I don't want to be emotional. And I said, well, that's fine. I put my hand on her head and said, in the name of Jesus, fill her with the Holy Spirit. And when I did, she threw both hands up, and she slapped her legs, and she started laughing like a crazy woman, and she started running around this building. Just around and around and around and around and around and around. And she was speaking in tongues as she went. And I said, wow, this is something. I was a Pentecostal. I was shocked. She was so wild. I found out later she was an Episcopalian. This was her first time to ever be in a spiritual church. She had watched the old PTL show, and she had watched it several times and heard about the Holy Spirit. And she was sincere, and she decided she wanted it. And so I watched her run around that building. And finally she came to rest back in the back. I said, ma'am, would you like to say a woman? Or she jumped up and started laughing and slapping her legs again and started speaking in tongues and running the building again. It was just crazy. It was just crazy. And finally, she was just so intoxicated on the Holy Spirit, she couldn't drive her car home. We had to take her home. We found out that her husband was an alcoholic. And he was just fitful because she went to the Episcopalian church. When she got full of the Holy Ghost, this was totally out of character. So we just set her in the door. He was there. And she just kept partying all night long in Jesus. The next night, oh, by the way, that pastor said, Brother Steve, could you come back tomorrow night? Now, this is the place I didn't feel like preaching. I just preached in a church in Fort Worth that would seat 1,500. It's packed every night. I don't feel like preaching to 20 people in a little church about people about 60 or 70 years of age. I just don't feel like it. But he said, could you come back tomorrow night? And I said, well, I guess I can. And so I went back the next night. That little building that had about 20 or 30 people in it was packed. That Monday, on a Monday night, that little woman that had got filled with the Holy Ghost, she had called all of her friends in the Episcopal church. She had called all her friends in that little town. I mean, she was like the woman at the well. She went and told them what God had done. And that next night when I preached, they got the Holy Ghost all over the building. When I left that place, over 200 people had gotten the baptism of the Holy Ghost in just a few days. It was because I was obedient to my faith rather than what I felt like. I'm telling somebody in this building right now, it doesn't matter whether you feel like you're going to get healed or not. If you would just acknowledge that God is a healer and do what God tells you to do and what you know to do rather than what you feel like doing. So how come you never miss church? It's not because I don't feel like missing it. I just know that God's going to be in this house. I know that I've been coming here 10,000 times and I've never walked out the door without saying I'm a whole lot better off for being here than I was. There's a whole lot of people that love Jesus, but they're just not letting their faith do what it wants to do. They're giving in to their feeling. I'm a little tired today. It's just easier to turn it on and watch it online. There's something that happens in this building that will never happen online. I'm telling you that God's got miracles for you. When you come into this house, you don't wait until your favorite person sings the song that you like the best. You say, oh, I feel like praising God with that song. You praise God on slow songs. You praise God on fast songs. You praise God on old songs. You praise God on new songs. You just praise God, not because you feel like it. And when you do, suddenly the glory of God comes upon you and something begins to happen in your spirit and in your body. I promise you that when I begin to doubt my faith, I do something that my flesh does not want to do. I begin to praise God. I praise God in this building, but most of my praise is outside of this building. Most of my praise is in my car, in my truck, in my house, on the road somewhere. I just praise God. God works miracles for me, but He works miracles for me when I do what I know to do rather than when I do what I feel like I want to do. God is a great God. You can't be here 47 years without going through trial after trial and temptation after temptation and obstacle after obstacle. But I found this, that I can conquer every trial. I can endure every temptation. I can obtain every miracle, praise God, that I need in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ if I will just do what faith tells me to do. And in this building today, somebody is on the verge of a miracle. And the devil is the king of feeling. He wants to make you feel like you're not worthy, that it won't happen to you. It'll feel like it's going to happen to somebody else. But I tell you, the devil is a liar and the father of it. God does not love that man across the building more than He loves you, or that woman on the pew next to you more than He does you. God is a fair God. And God is in this room right now. And He said, I want to save you. I want to fill you. I want to deliver you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I went to Aurora, Illinois to preach a revival. There was a man came to me and he said, Pastor Steve, I've been in this church over 25 years. And he said, everybody in this church is baptized with the Holy Ghost except me. He said, for some reason, God doesn't want me to have the Holy Ghost. He said, you'll notice when you preach, I come to the altar every time. But he said, I come for one purpose. And I said, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. But God never does. He said, I've been doing this for 25 years. And said, I just can't get the Holy Ghost. That's a lie from the devil. When the devil says you can't receive something from God, he's contradicting the scripture, because the Bible said no good thing will he withhold from you. So the first night of the revival in Aurora, Illinois, he came to that altar. I went down and tapped him on the shoulder. I said, you're never going to get the Holy Ghost to this altar. He said, I'm not. I said, no, I'll tell you what you got to do, sir. I said, you see that door back there at the back of the church? He said, yeah. I said, you got to go back to that door and slap it as hard as you can, and you'll get the Holy Ghost. He went back and slapped that door, turned around, come back now. About halfway down the aisle, he just fell out. God baptized him with the Holy Ghost. Why did you tell him that? Because he was in such a rut of saying, I just feel like I'm not going to get the Holy Ghost. I didn't have to change his faith. I had to change his feeling. What do you feel today? I want to change your feeling. I want to tell you that God is your Savior. I want to tell you that God is merciful. I want to tell you that God is a gift giver. I want to tell you that God is here today. I want to tell you that God wants to heal today. But I don't feel like this is my day. Oh, yes, it is. God wants to heal your body today. I challenge you to overcome your feeling and get out of your pew and come to this altar and say, right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God is going to do a miracle in somebody's life today. Oh, I like the way you jump on it in a hurry, sister. In the name of the Lord Jesus, by the power of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, by the power of God. The God that I serve is in this building. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Nothing is too hard for God. God is a healer in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. I told you last Sunday that I had LASIK surgery on my eye. It was so great, so wonderful. I woke up on Friday morning, about 3 o'clock, and in that eye was the greatest pain I've ever had. It was the devil. The devil hates it when I...